Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie. How are you on this fine Wednesday?
I'm doing very well on this fine Wednesday. I'm actually going out of town next week.
Oh.
For 2 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Vacation time.
Yeah. I've never taken a two-week vacation. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're great.
I don't know what to expect. It's a little nerve-wracking. Like leaving for so long, but I'm excited. So,
well, good. And in like dog years, that's like 2 months or something.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have a great guest on the show today. A little bit later on in the show, we have Kate Munson, who's one of the volunteers with Seattle Humane, the pet loss support group that they offer there every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., which is free. And we're going to talk about pet loss and the grief process and, you know, in the context of grieving over lost pets. And she's great. I went to visit one of the groups a few months back, and it was a really, really wonderful experience. It was great for me personally because I lost, as most regular listeners know, I lost my first dog, Chewy, back in September. It's almost a year ago, which is crazy to me. And that was the first time I've had to go through that. And that was, and not as hard now, but man, that was something else to go through that. And it was really helpful and just get to talk to other people who are, you know, kind of going through the same thing was really great. So we're going to talk to her starting in the second segment. I have a lot of announcements. Eric, you, there's a survey through the station that's happening right now.
That's right. Our annual listener survey is going on right now.
Which is very exciting because last year when the station was doing their annual survey, we had only been on the air for a few months.
That's right. You're a new show.
Very new.
Yeah.
So
just a pup, really.
Yeah, just a puppy. And I really would love for all of you out there who do listen to the show or who have listened to just take a few minutes to go on to the website and
it
fill
only
out
takes
the survey.
About 5 minutes to fill
five
it out.
5 minutes. Yeah. Represent the Dog Talk Show, please.
That's
would
right.
be really greatly appreciated. And there's a really great drawing that you get automatically entered into. Can you tell us about that?
That's true. By the way, we should just mention that it's 1150kknw.com, 1150kknw.com. When you go on the website, you'll see a big check mark right on the front page, and it says take the survey now, and you just click on that, and bam, you're taking the survey. It's really easy. And the drawing is for a round trip for two aboard the Victoria Clipper and includes a whale watching excursion, continental champagne breakfast, and also $50 towards dinner at Ponte Seafood Grill. So a really
wow.
nice day out, it looks like. Yeah.
For 5 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
And it really...
If you win.
If you win.
That's right.
But I win if you... Please fill out the survey and just represent the show. I would really, really appreciate 5 minutes of your time to just let us know that you are out there listening to the Dog Talk Show. That would be wonderful. I really, really appreciate that. I have to come up with some story. How long is it going on?
That goes on to July 11th.
Okay. Wonderful. And it's funny you mentioned Victoria because that's actually where I'm going.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Love
well,
Victoria.
We're going I'm actually going sailing for 2 weeks.
Wow.
So we're headed up from Seattle through the San Juans, up around Victoria and surrounding little nooks and crannies of the coast. So
beautiful.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about the guest we had on last summer, Jessica Stone, who wrote Doggy on Deck.
Oh, yeah.
All about boating with your dog.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have any dogs on board, unfortunately.
No salty dogs on this trip.
No, I'm going to be dog withdrawal. I'm going to be, everybody who has a dog experiences that, I think.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, you go away on vacation and you have to leave your dog. And
I have the same thing, only it's with guitars. And my cats.
Nice. So I'm going to, yeah, hopefully there's usually some, you know, boat dogs that are out there. I'll have to get a couple pets in and get my fix. There's a bunch of events coming up, and I brought my computer, but it has no battery, so I'm going to have to do this from memory. Fortunately, though, I have announced these many times before, and I do have all the websites you can check out, and I will post this information on the Dog Talk Show homepage, so you can go to dogtalkshow.com and check out the details of these events. Wienerfest Northwest is coming up end of July, July 31st and August 1st. It's in Elma, Washington, which is just outside of Olympia, at Grays Harbor County Fairgrounds. Wiener dog races, costume contests, lots of really fun stuff for kids to do. It's a great family event, super affordable to come. I think it's only a couple dollars admission. The wiener dog races are so fun. There's an all-breed dog costume contest, so this is not just a wiener dog event, but there will certainly be many wiener dogs present. And I will be racing my dachshund, Leia, so please come to cheer her on as well. That is, like I said, July 31st and August 1st. And the website there is wienerfestnw.com. And actually, right now, we have three VIP packs left to give away for this event. It's two, so we have three packs of two passes each pack. So each VIP pack includes two VIP weekend passes, VIP parking, t-shirt. It's a great, if you're going to go to the event, you get the VIP admission. So you don't have to answer Dog Talk Show trivia. You just call in right now. And if you're one of the first three callers, Darcy will take down your mailing address and we'll get those sent out to you. So give us a call, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or you can call toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. Just give us a call. You don't have to come on air. You don't have to answer any questions. We've just got three VIP packs to the Wiener Dog Races and Wiener Fest, which is August 31st and July 1st. VIP passes for the whole weekend, including parking. And again, that's 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll-free 888-298-5569. Just give us a call. The first three callers will receive those free VIP packs for the Wiener Dog races and Wiener Fest. We've also got Gilda's Club dog walk event, which is coming up here July 27th, I think. Again, I said my computer's dead. That's Sunday, 27th. It's that Sunday, July 27th, I believe, 26th. Eric's checking.
25th. Yes.
Well, thanks for checking, Eric.
No problem.
July 25th. It's that Sunday. Gilda's Club is a cancer support organization. They do really wonderful work. The website is gildasclubseattle.org, and that is named after Gilda Radner, who died of ovarian cancer. And she was a very, very funny comedian on Saturday Night Live. We're going to be at both of these events, and my mom is actually flying out from Boston to be here for Gilda's Club event because she's an ovarian cancer survivor. Mm. Missing Pet Partnership, a wonderful organization. They are doing their 4th of July Lost Pet Recovery booth outside the Kent Animal Shelter, and they need help. Just need bodies to be there to help support people. They're doing a training, I believe, the Saturday the 3rd for volunteers to know kind of how to aid people. I was there last year, and it was amazing. They are so helpful for people who have lost their pets around the 4th of July, and they need some volunteers. If you don't have the time, you're going to be out of town like me, you can do what we did and make a donation. You can go to missingpetpartnership.org and you can just make a quick donation on PayPal. Even a small donation, you know, $5, $10, $20, if you can do more, that's great. But they need to pay for the supplies for the event as well, the posters, the window markers, all that type of stuff. So please support them, especially around this time of year. We really need that support for people whose pets have run away from fireworks. There's also a fundraiser for a vet, and it's July 9th at Jabu's Pub, which is in Lower Queen Anne in Seattle. And this is a fundraiser for a veteran for a mental health service dog, and it's one of the dogs that's in Darcy's training program right now. Her name is Susie. She will be in attendance at the event, and again, that is at Jabu's Pub in Queen Anne neighborhood, Lower Queen Anne in Seattle. And that's a great, good, there's going to be live music and silent auction, and it's to help raise funds for this mental health service dog for a veteran in need. And like I said, Susie will be there, the dog in training. You can meet her too. Maybe get a podograph.
Wow.
That was for you, Eric.
Thank you.
We have advertising spots still available on the show. If you would like to advertise your business or service or product, and you think that people who love their dogs would be a great market for you, advertising is super affordable. It includes ads on the show and as well as a sidebar ad on the Dog Talk Show website. And the visits to the website have been growing 40% each month. So it's like exponential. So it's great exposure, and all of the ads are also on all the archive shows and on iTunes. So if you would like more information about advertising your company or business on the Dog Talk Show, you can get in touch with me, Julie, at host@dogtalkshow.com. host@dogtalkshow.com, and I will send you some more information about the different levels of advertising. So we will be back in just a few minutes with Kate Munson with Seattle Humane's Pet Loss Support Group. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Need more room for your Marmaduke? Maybe more open space or a larger home? How about being closer to your favorite dog park? Call Von Provo with Preview Properties at 425-359-0165. Remember, finding that just right location is Von's specialty. No dog is too big or too small that we can't locate just what you're looking for. Marmaduke's new home is only one call away. So call us or come visit the website at vonprovo.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Picking up dog or cat poop is a necessary pet owner's ritual. Plastic poop bags put in the trash end up in landfills, produce methane gas, and contaminate our hard-to-get clean water. Bokashi Cycle's Pet Cycle fermenting system provides a simple, sustainable solution to a growing problem. Pet waste is safely and rapidly transformed into a product that restores nutrients and microbes to the soil. Pet Cycle is an easy and natural system you can use at home to end polluting. Visit www.bokashicycle.com or call 1-800-714-2130 to order your pet cycle system today.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
To walk in the park when it gets dark, my dog will bark.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are here today with Kate Munson, one of the volunteers with Seattle Humane's Pet Loss Support Group. Welcome, Kate.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks for being here. So the Seattle Humane is actually very close to the station. I could almost see it, I think, if there weren't trees. And you offer a pet loss support group for people who are grieving a lost pet.
Yes, we do. It's a weekly meeting. It meets every Saturday at 10
mm-hmm.
For 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 a.m. to noon, and it's a free service, correct?
It is absolutely a free service.
Yeah. And this was something that I went to. There was an article in the Times, I think it was, several months ago,
mm-hmm.
which was what sparked my memory to get in touch with you guys and have you on the show. And then at the time as well, I was personally connected to the idea of visiting the group, not just to have been there for the show, but really more personally for myself, because I had to put my dog Chewy down last September. And it's the first time I've ever had to go through this type of thing. And it's not easy for sure. I mean, there's a lot to it. So so I got to go and really benefit from it as well. And it's just a wonderful service that you offer the community. And I think that if more people knew about it, more people would go. You'd probably be overcrowded, because there's just a lot of people out there who are kind of grappling with the grief of a lost pet, and either don't feel like it's, you know, valid because it's a pet, not a human. Or, you know, people in their life just don't seem to understand, or, you know, all these different reasons. And one thing that, you know, just in talking about the grief process, and this kind of came up in our meeting, but is that there's this idea that there's these stages of grief that you kind of go through. And we were talking about how it's like, well, that's not, you know, so much the case. So will you talk a little bit more about that and just tell us too, you know, what, now you're a therapist and mm-hmm. that type of stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually a mental health counselor,
mm-hmm.
And I work with a lot of grief and loss. And one of the things that I really enjoy working with is pet loss. Mm-hmm. I'm a pet owner myself. I've had pets since I was very young and have gone through a lot of loss with them as well. And one of the things that we discussed in group is the fact that, and you just mentioned it, that most people who go through this don't get to feel as if this is a real loss, as if this is valid. Pet loss itself is a very disenfranchised grief, mm-hmm. which means that it's just not accepted by society as a whole. Losing a pet is actually a pretty traumatic experience for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
People have really strong bonds with animals. And it's not necessarily trying to equate it to a human experience. Or it's just a bond, and it's a loss, and it's very valid. And along those lines, in terms of the grief stages, the grief stages were actually brought about by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross many, many, many years ago. And she was actually working with people who were dying. So she was walking them through their process and trying to do research on what it was like to die
mm-hmm.
and all the feelings and experiences that they had, such as anger, guilt, et cetera. And she didn't really ever intend for those to be applied to those who are left behind, although that's kind of what happened over time.
Mm-hmm.
So in reality, and actually nowadays, we don't even talk about stages necessarily. In a way, in our society, we try and find things that tell us how to do things. We like to know how to do things right.
Right.
And unfortunately, grief doesn't really work that way. Grief is a very individualized process, and it's different for every single person that's out there. Every person has a different relationship with the person that they've lost, so they're going to experience something different. everybody in that family may react differently. You may have a child that doesn't seem to really care about it. And there's also developmental stages that come along with grief as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more to the point, there really aren't stages. There really aren't this set stage of everything that you're supposed to go through. And there isn't an order in which you follow it. There's all sorts of emotions and physical experiences that you may or may not experience. And they're all valid. You can feel sad. You can feel guilty. You can feel angry. All those things. And they're all very normal.
Yeah, and all at the same time.
And absolutely.
That's what I felt.
Yeah.
All absolutely. Of them at the same time. And it was kind of hard to, like, you know, if I was feeling or being emotional, it was like, well, what's the emotion that's being expressed right now? Because they're all there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes it's hard to piece those out. Sometimes what works for people to be able to piece those out is writing about it
mm-hmm.
or talking about it. And particularly that's why we offer this group, is because we find that sharing grief in community is really important.
Yeah.
It really normalizes the experience for a lot of people, and it gives them a sense of community to know that they're not alone
mm-hmm.
in what they're experiencing.
Yeah, I remember when I walked in, I got there, I think, like right at 10, and there were two couples already there. Mm-hmm. And I walked in, and this was like 7 months after Chewy died. So I was a little further out than the other people that were there. Most of the people had more recently lost their pets.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was very much still feeling, you know, feeling sad about losing him. And so I remember finding the room that everybody was in and just stepped in and saw these, you know, red eyes and, you know, tears. And I just immediately welled up and it just, but it was really good. I mean, it was like, oh, you know, this is a place where these feelings can be held, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and witnessed by other people, and where I can be listened to and tell my story with Chewy and how he died and my experience, and to just have people who are in that themselves listen with those ears. You know, I'm fortunate to have really wonderful support in my life where people were really validating to me. They knew how important Chewy was to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's one of the closest creatures to me on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so to lose him was very significant. And so, but it was just nice to be with people who were in it too, and mm-hmm. to just listen to, you know, take turns and tell your story and have a chance to tell your story and be really listened to. And that community feeling was just amazing. And everyone, of course, is just so supportive and sweet to each other. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and it, you know, we find that for some people, that's a really helpful way to move them in their grief process. For mm-hmm. some people, they need to talk about it, and they need to be in that community to know that what they're feeling is normal, and it's perfectly valid. And for some people, that's not the case. For some people, talking about it isn't what they need to do. They talk about two different kinds of grievers. There's the people who actually need to go out and do things, like the person who goes on and puts on a new roof versus the person who needs to come to a support group.
Yeah, or paints the entire interior of their house, which is what I did.
Exactly.
In one weekend.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can be both of those things, because it sounds like you, at different times, at that particular time, that's what you needed to do.
Yeah.
And later on, being a part of that community is what you needed then.
Mm-hmm.
So it can change over time.
Yeah. Yeah, and it really brings up, too, a lot about, I don't know really if religion is the right word, but spirituality or spiritual mm-hmm. beliefs or beliefs about life and death and what happens. And, well, you know, I know for me it was like, okay, Chewy is not here physically, mm-hmm. but I still very much feel connected to him in a way, but it's like, how do you wrap your brain around that? Because that
Correct.
Doesn't really make sense. But and if anything, I felt more love for him after he died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like overflowing with this sense of, you know, the feeling of love for him did not go away. It's just that he wasn't physically there for me to touch. So, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, trying to figure that out, and we'll like, well, oh yeah, that totally makes sense. And but then it's like, wait a minute, you know, how can that be? Because we're kind of wired to look for proof and physical proof and all that type of stuff, and so it feels real, but then it's like, but that doesn't make sense, and you know, all this kind of stuff that it brought up for me. I know, questions about life and death and what happens, you know, when you die and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, definitely experiencing the death of someone or something that you love can bring up an existential crisis. I mean, it makes you look at your own life. It makes you look at what's meaningful. It makes you look at what your belief system is.
And it
makes you try and fit your experience into those systems that you have, and it may or may not work.
Yeah. One thing that I felt, too, was anger, because I felt like he, you know, I did everything I knew to do, you know, fed him real food, and he had, you know, acupuncture and supplements, and he was exercised all through his life and all this kind of stuff. And then I find out suddenly that he has cancer, and, you know, it happened pretty quickly for him, where I found out that he was sick, and then it was really just a few days later that I put him down because I didn't want him to suffer. But I was like, he's only 12, you know, I did everything, you know, it's like, I didn't have control over it, and I was pissed, you know, like, he got taken too soon, you know. I used to joke with him that he'd live to be 20 and all this type of stuff, but, you know, it didn't happen, and so there was this kind of really challenged that, like, control, too, and just really having to accept that, you know, there's only so much you can do, and the rest of it, you just kind of have to surrender.
Definitely. There is only so much you can control. And we do recognize that we're only here for a finite amount of time. And they are as well. And that's definitely something that we can't control as much as we want to.
Yeah.
Particularly when it comes to those creatures that bring us so much love in our life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with Kate Munson, volunteer with Seattle Humane's Pet Loss Support Group. We're talking about pet loss and grief. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Near, far, wherever you are, I believe that the heart
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Hi, I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk With Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor
From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Independent programs, independent voices, independent ideas. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Was when I loved you one true time. I hold you in my life, will always go.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're back with Kate Munson, volunteer with the Seattle Humane and their Pet Loss Support Group. Welcome back, Kate. So we're talking about pet loss and grief in general. If anybody has a question and would like to call in, we can have our own little pet loss support group right here on the show. If you are moved to do so, we would love to hear from you. The number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll-free 888-298-5569. The show after, well, it was a week and a half after Chewy died, I had a show where I talked about that experience. And if you go back into the archives, I don't sound like I sound today. You know, I just sound like, you know, like I'm grieving and like my heart is broken, which is how I felt. And I, you know, just talked about my experience and had actually a few people call in and kind of share their stories, and you know, people were definitely with me on that, which was really nice for me even at the time. So one thing that I wanted to talk about, Kate, is in your experience, I know you said, I think you've been volunteering for about 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And have you seen, or just in your expertise in mental health, you know, a difference in the grief experience where people have lost a pet, you know, an old pet due to a health issue versus a physically healthy pet? But like, for example, you know, something that I work with dog behavior and training is, you know, severe aggression, where sometimes, you know, the best option is to actually euthanize the animal because they're dangerous. Mm-hmm. And they're going to potentially, you know, injure or kill someone else's pet, or, you know, if they're aggressive towards people, you know, they could injure a child or, you know, cause permanent scarring, you know, all this type of stuff. And so people, you know, a lot of times make the hard decision to euthanize the animal, and kind of the grief that goes along with having to lose a pet due to something like aggression versus, you know, old age.
Yeah, those are two different experiences, absolutely. And we definitely see that people come to group for very, very different reasons, and sometimes that happens. And one of the things that we actually encourage is that people don't compare losses.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's particularly helpful, particularly in a support group setting, but the experiences that you're describing definitely are two very different experiences, and obviously it's going to affect that individual completely differently. And again, I think that we always like to say that grief is an individual process and it's different for each person. And I can imagine in that particular experience that you're describing that there's a lot of guilt involved. Mm-hmm. With that, particularly if an animal's aggressive, particularly if you've had an animal for a long time that suddenly turns aggressive and you don't really understand why.
Mm.
You still have this bond with this animal, and yet you have to make that ultimate decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of anticipatory grief as well, that comes along with having to put an animal down for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's always that idea of looking to, you know, what does this mean to me? What's going to happen? What does it mean to me to take on this sense of responsibility of guilt that can go along with that, as well as anger, and all the other feelings that can come along with that.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very common to feel that way.
Yeah.
And again, it can be very helpful for people to be in a room with others who've had the same or similar experiences so that they can actually kind of talk through the emotions that they're having. Particularly that guilt feeling. That's a really, really common one for any kind of pet loss that I've seen. Because more often than not, I shouldn't say more often than not, but in a lot of cases, we are kind of steward of that animal's life.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to decide when do we put you down so that you don't suffer anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the question of, you know, an aggressive dog, are they actually suffering? Is that, you know, is that a sign of some sort of trauma for them?
Mm.
And are we actually doing them a service by putting them out of that as well?
Mm.
It's another way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The other idea that I like to focus on, especially when you're thinking about euthanizing an animal, is the fact that there's such a huge gift that we get to give them. It's a really hard gift, particularly for us.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to end suffering is pretty amazing if you think about it. And yes, it's really hard for us because we're the ones left behind with all the thoughts and feelings that come with that. And we're also left behind without that particular creature. We don't get to see them or touch them or hold them the way that we used to. But in reality, I think, you know, animals are really the most amazing unconditional love bucket. That's the way you want. I mean, they just provide so much attention and so much love that we kind of get to do them a favor in return, in that you don't have to suffer anymore.
Yeah, and it's a really good point. I think what you said about aggression is that, you know, you really, you know, it's a question, you know, are they suffering? Mm-hmm. If it's, you know, uncontrollable, typically when you get that level of aggression to where the owner is faced with that decision of, you know, maybe it's the best option to let the animal go. And, you know, it is really a question of, you know, if it's the type of thing that they can't control or, you know, are you sort of relieving them of that as well and kind of freeing them of that? Because dogs are social animals like people, you know, they're ideally, you know, able to communicate effectively and appropriately. And, you know, I think just like with people who have a hard time with that, with other people, it's really sad because they're kind of robbed of that ability to normally, quote unquote, or healthily communicate. So when you see like, you know, I know like with dog-on-dog aggression, you know, dogs aren't designed to really just go and injure each other. If you think of how they're designed to live in the wild, they're designed to live in a functioning pack, you know, like in a functioning family. So if you get a dog that's, you know, either the breed is bred for dog aggression, they're kind of robbed of that. And I think that that's really not fair to them and really sad. So, but yeah, it is. You think that the point is that it's every process is different for everybody and people process differently. And everybody's relationship with their animal is different. So there's not any one script to follow. And that's hard because I was like, okay, you know, I want to know what this is going to look like. And I want to know, you know, when am I supposed to start feeling better? You know, it's been 7 months and here I am at a pet loss support group. So is something wrong? Because I had never been through this before. So one thing that I found really helpful, too, was that actually both of these professionals' ads are on this show. But I did some work with Vicki Draper. She's an animal healing expert, kind of like energy work, to learn how to connect with Chewy in a different way. Because I believed that that was possible, but I didn't know really what that was going to look like. Or again, it's kind of like trying to make sense of something that you can't see and measure, but you feel. And also just some energetic work for myself. And I actually took my little dachshund in with me for a session to just, I was okay with the sadness, but I just wanted to make sure that things were moving, that, you know, that I was moving through and not getting stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really helpful, you know, to just quiet down and have somebody do some energy work and body work. And then I also worked with my acupuncturist, Robert, who's amazing. And just to keep the energy moving, let the tears come, you know. And actually, it was after I met with the two of them within the same week. And that really helped me shift to another place where I felt like I could start to connect with Chewy and not feel so sad every time, that I could remember him with joy, not always feeling like I just had to start bawling if I still, you know, connected to him. So,
right.
But there's a lot out there, a lot of support out there, and there's a lot of people who really get pet loss, and I think it's just a matter of finding them, like the group that Seattle Humane offers. And again, that's Saturday mornings, and it's every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon. No charge. You just, you know, come as you are and talk with the volunteer and with other people who are there, who are somewhere in their grief process too. And something that I've heard people talk about a lot too is, and we're actually getting ready for another break, so we'll talk about this, Kate, when we come back from break, but anticipatory grief. Like, you know your dog's getting close, or cat, but this is the dog talk show, so, you know your pet is close, and then it's kind of like, you know, I don't know whether they're just going to die or whether we're going to have to put them down, but you know it's kind of coming, and you're in a different phase in the relationship rather than, you know, a two-year-old dog where, you know, hopefully you're not going to have to deal with that for a long time. And so I definitely experienced that with Chewy, where I was like, he's getting older. And it was like, ooh, you know, this dread. And I went through kind of a grief phase a few months before he died. So let's talk about that when we come back. We're here with Kate Munson, volunteer with Seattle Humane's Pet Loss Support Group. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
So kind of gentle, I don't know, keep on giving. For your kindness, I'm dead to you.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Looking for new ways to find light, love, healing, and balance in your life, your family, and your work? You're not alone. I'm Jeanette Dames, host of The Soul's Edge, Tuesdays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk 1150. And I want to help you bring your life back to life. Listen to nourish your life or call for an angel reading. Join me on The Soul's Edge, Tuesdays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Does it break your heart to see your dog limping, not feeling well, anxious, or nervous? You know something is wrong, but you're unable to find any answers. Animal healing expert Vicki Draper combines her intuitive connection, her healing gift of touch, and her extensive training to serve you and your pet. Vicki performs both local and distant sessions, providing you with her services from both near and far. Clients have reported Vicki saving them hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Contact Vicki Draper at www.vimere.com. That's V-I-M-I-E-R-E.com.
There's nothing else like it on the dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And I'm playing these songs on purpose, as we tend to, either Eric or I choose songs.
Yeah, these were special requests today.
These were special requests, yes. And these are dedicated to my boy, who I lost last September, and to everybody else who's feeling that, too. So that one is Kind and Generous, which I think is a very nice song to sing to your pet, because they do give so much. We're back with Kate Munson, a volunteer with Seattle Humane's Pet Loss Support Group. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
So we were talking about anticipatory grief, and that's kind of something that actually I felt really helped me several months, actually. It was maybe 6 months before I even knew Chewy was sick. But I don't know, maybe on some other level, I knew that, you know, something was wrong, and just was feeling this like grief. And I remember telling Darcy that I felt like I was grieving his loss, even though he was still there. Mm-hmm. And it was a kind of grief of like where I was really scared and really like resistant to his death and kind of like, no, you know, like really just kind of.
That would be denial, correct?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess, just really resistant and right. You know, just, you know, not just sad, but like there's fear. There was a lot of fear there too. Mm-hmm. And, sure. But I didn't really know where it was coming from. And then, you know, 6 months later, I find out that he's got tumors and, you know, am faced with this decision. And I actually really felt that it prepared me because I had sort of gone through like that layer of emotion. Mm-hmm. I felt like it enabled me in a way to really be clear-minded as I could be and strong and present for him. Mm-hmm. And really helped me to make that decision because I chose to put him down. You know, it was like 95% chance that it was this hemangiosarcoma, very common in large breeds, very aggressive, you know. Yeah. So even if he was bleeding internally, so he was anemic and low, you know, all this stuff. And it was like, well, you know, we can put him through surgery, and but the, you know, chances of him making it through surgery were iffy, you know, because he was so compromised. And then even if they found a mass to remove, you know, chances were very high again that, you know, 6 months later, he's going to have cancer in his lungs or something like that. So it was like, gosh, you know, do I put him through all of that and risk him, you know, dying on a cold operating table without me, or having him suffer, or waiting and then having him, you know, die on his own but suffer in that process? Mm-hmm. Or do I just let him go? And right. It was really tough to kind of make that decision. And you had said earlier in the show about that. And, you know, it is actually a beautiful thing to witness. Mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, witnessing his death and holding him as he died, I felt him go, was just one of the most beautiful things I'll probably ever experience. But it really was like, you know, all right, like this, I'm going to let you go. Like, it's okay. It's okay for you to go. And I also really wanted him on whatever level to know that it was okay and to not have him held back, however that might look.
Right.
But that anticipatory grief is like, you know, I think people kind of start to feel that as they, if they're in a situation where the dogs are aging. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you know, it's kind of coming. I don't know when, but ooh.
Right.
And one thing that we were talking about on break that I think is really important to give voice to is how, and I'll have you elaborate on this, but is to allow yourself to feel sad. Mm-hmm. And that it's not like a fun thing to go through, but how important it is to let yourself feel the feelings and cry them out as much as you feel like you need to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's one of the most important things just about the grief process in general is to kind of accept what you feel, whatever you happen to feel in any given moment, mm-hmm. and know that that's part of a journey. It's there for a reason. You're feeling a certain way for a reason, and you're feelings are valid and they're important. And it's particularly difficult in a society that doesn't really know and doesn't really teach or honor the grieving process, let alone for humans.
Right.
And particularly not for the human-animal bond.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate because, in a way, it complicates the grief process even further in that, you know, you're walking through a society that doesn't really honor or respect the feelings that you have, which tends to make a lot of us push those feelings aside and not allow them to be what they are. So I think it's really important to feel whatever you feel. And obviously, you know, if you're in the middle of public and you feel like you're going to cry, that might not be a very comfortable feeling. But if you can get yourself to a place where you feel comfortable doing it,
mm-hmm.
allow yourself to have that time. Even creating a ritual around having some time where you just get to feel whatever you want to feel.
Yeah.
And you have a box of Kleenex handy, or you have a pillow that you can cry into or scream into or hit if you need to. And just allow yourself to have those feelings, because in a way, allowing yourself to have those feelings actually honors the relationship mm-hmm. that you have with this animal.
Yep.
And it actually can make you feel more bonded mm-hmm. to that animal as well.
You know, it was a curious thing. I felt like when I would really start to feel sad and really cry in a... It was sad, and, you know, I think maybe we're just conditioned to feel like crying is bad and that we don't like it, but,
right.
you know, in
right.
a lot of ways it actually felt good, and I also felt like in those moments it was almost like when I was connecting to him,
mm-hmm.
even though it was kind of through the tears.
Right.
And I know for me, it was a lot of, well, I was just crying all over the place, but
mm-hmm.
The car...
Right.
I'll just be driving along and then, you know, all here comes Whitney Houston with I Will Always Love You on the radio. And then
right.
I'm just done.
Right.
And that was fine. Like, cause it just, you know, let it all out.
And sometimes it's even a good idea if you feel like you need to. And again, you're right. I think that we're kind of programmed to think that crying is a sign of weakness when in reality, it's actually a sign of a tremendous courage to be able to express that kind of pain.
And release.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think they've actually, you know, there's scientific evidence that there's some stress-reducing chemicals in your tears. So in a way, it's your body's response to this tremendous amount of emotional stress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your body's way of actually adapting to it, and allowing it to move through you rather than being stuck in it.
Mm.
Or, you know, trying to distract yourself from it.
Yeah. I think it's actually, I came across this randomly. I think it's prolactin.
Mm-hmm.
And that
I
it's,
think maybe right,
it's
yeah.
present in tears that you cry for emotional reasons, but it's mm-hmm. not present in tears from pain.
Right.
Which is very
which
interesting.
Which would be physical pain versus emotional
right.
pain.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was, you know, and it's just... I had a client lose a dog due to a very unnecessary, you know, circumstances. He was left with a tennis ball by somebody who shouldn't have done that, and he got lodged in his esophagus. He ended up dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I just so feel for, you know, now that I've been through that, it's like, you know, I just so feel for everybody who has to go through this process, and just want to spread the word about the pet loss support group
mm-hmm.
Because it's there, and, you know, it's there. Go, you know,
right.
Go
right.
use it. You know, take that opportunity and give that to yourself. It's such a gift to yourself. And I think what you said too, you know, really resonated for me, and just really honoring your pet that way in letting yourself feel the feelings because they're just so real.
Right.
And I can't believe how fast this time has gone by. But the Pet Loss Support Group is at Seattle Humane here in Bellevue, just off of I-90. And it's Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon. And you can, there's a website, seattlehumane.org.
I believe that's what it is, yeah.
Okay. I'll post that information all on the Dog Talk Show website as well. Kate, thanks so much for being on the show. Next week, we've got Sherry Jones with Wiener Tales and the coordinator of Wiener Fest Northwest. So we'll be talking to her about that upcoming event. Kate Munson's with us today, one of the volunteers with Seattle Humane's Pet Loss Support Group. Kate, thanks so much again for being on the show.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll be in touch soon.
Thanks.
Bye. All right, thanks for listening. We'll be here next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.